Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. Thanks. Thanks good. For coming in. Always good to be here on Sunday night.
Yes, it is. Good to be with you.
Hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's good.
Rest from your labors.
Yeah, but it's even though it's the holiday weekend, we're here working, but
We're ministering.
Yes, we're working for the kingdom.
Working for the kingdom.
Yes, we are.
The retirement plan is out of this world.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No matter how much money you have here, you're going to have a great retirement plan.
Infinite. Never have to worry about it.
Yeah, it'd be much better than Social Security.
Definitely. Definitely.
Anyway, all right. If you've been with us the last 9 weeks, was it 9 shows or 8 shows?
I think it was 9. We did a recap on
that. Yeah. If you've been with us the last 9 shows, we did a series about the cross. And we felt the Lord leading us to do that because at this time in history, and we can even say in this time in salvation history, because salvation history keeps going on until Jesus comes back, the Lord has been showing us that it's really time to refocus in on the central themes of salvation. And of course, at the center of that is the cross.
Yes.
And if you get a chance to go to our website, which is giftofgraceministries.org, under the section called Gift of Grace Radio, you can listen to the 9 shows in your spare time. And
that's my favorite page.
At your leisure. Yeah. And I would encourage you to at least hear some of them, because we're trying to get back to the foundation. We're trying to get back to the fundamentals of the faith. Mm-hmm. And not so much on the peripheral issues and the issues of disagreement among denominations and the disagreement among believers within a church.
Right.
Trying to get back to the center, which is the heart of the plan of salvation, which, of course, the scripture tells us was conceived before the foundation of the world within the persons of the Godhead. And so I would encourage you to go back and hear some of these. And now that we did those 9 shows, and again, you can see, if you watch television, keep up with the news, you can see the world in a very unstable state. And we don't know, we're not supposed to set times and dates. But we see that no matter what, the world is in a turmoil and people need to be evangelized. People need to understand where their salvation comes from. And so since we finished this 9-part series about the cross, we're going to move into kind of a similar theme that flows from that, because in our world, we've also been moved to point out to people that there's been kind of a fuzzy, whatever goes kind of a feeling. And it doesn't matter what you believe, and it doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what you think is right and what you think is wrong. There's moral relativism, and there's no black and white. There's no law, unlaw. Everything is the same. So there's kind of this fuzziness about, so who cares? What does it matter? And when you don't have a focus on where you stand in regards to God, then really, whether you go to church or not is all really kind of silly and really kind of meaningless. And your opinion of what happened on the cross, if you think that everybody's saved and everything is fine, the cross just seems kind of like, oh, well, that happened. And Jesus was a really good teacher and he was a really good philosopher. And it's too bad they killed him, but that's because those people were jealous of him.
Right.
And, you miss what the point of that was.
Right. You really encapsulated the whole, really the 9 shows on the cross, and getting back to just the truth of the gospel and what Paul would say, getting back to the words of Jesus in the gospels and preaching the cross, not in our own eloquence, not of our own human words, and not the message of the gospel in our own human words.
Yes.
You know, and watering down the gospel doesn't mean that you have to preach fire and brimstone.
Sure.
You simply have to speak the truth.
Yes.
And not be, and not, I guess, be silenced in a way where, you know, we try and make things politically correct.
Yeah.
We want to be astute and
sophisticated.
Sophisticated, but we also want to be liked. We want to be accepted. And if you're going to preach the gospel, you're going to be accepted by the people that believe you, but you're not going to be accepted by the people that don't believe you.
Right. In fact, they're going to think you're nuts.
Exactly. So, you know, the one main point is where Paul says, you know, am I seeking the esteem of men or am I trying to please God? And that's what it comes down to, I think, for anybody that preaches the gospel, that we have to ask ourselves that every time that we're preaching the gospel, am I doing what God's asking me? Am I pleasing him and doing his will?
Yeah.
Or am I trying to, you know, win friends and influence enemies?
Yeah.
And certainly, with God's help, we can do that, but it has to be in the power of God and not our own.
Exactly.
Or else we're building a house of cards.
That's right. And this is exactly what's going to lead. This exactly leads into what we're going to talk about today and next week. And then we'll start another series. But anyway, yeah. Anyway, but evangelization is such an important thing now because we're going to read a couple of scripture passages, which are, you know, they're sort of parallel passages, but they have important lessons within them and maybe a little different with things within each one of them. But we're going to have Steve read, if you have your Bibles, if you can turn to Matthew 7, we're going to read verses 13 and 14. If you're driving, please pull over before you open your Bible.
Yes.
And put your flashers on.
So enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. And those who find it are few.
Now, this is very sobering. This is a very sobering passage.
Yes, it is.
And you've heard Stephen and I talk the last few shows that we've done about the cross where in our modern world, we've kind of turned this around. And people in our world are saying, well, the road to salvation is broad and just about everybody's on it. The road to damnation is very, very narrow. And other than a few mass murderers and maybe Hitler, they're the only ones that have been on that road. Everybody else has been saved. So, you know, you may have gotten into discussions with your friends, and I find this very commonly on almost a daily basis, where someone has died and everybody just assumes that they're in heaven because their idea for the qualifications of going to heaven are that you die. That's the only thing that's required. I mean, you can't go there while you're living, obviously, but once you die, you're there.
Right.
Now, this is the words of Jesus himself. So what is he talking about here? Narrow gates, broad ways, you know, difficult ways, you know, leading to life. I mean, what is he talking about? Few that find it. I mean, this goes against what the modern world believes, because here we have two roads and we have two choices. If there's not 18 roads, there's two roads.
Right.
There's not even three roads. There's two roads. Now, the broad road, he says, leads to destruction, and there's many people that are on it. And you, when you were just talking a minute ago about how, you know, we want people to like us, on the broad road, boy, the broad road's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of easy, and it's entertaining, and it's attractive. It fits in with our nature. Well, it fits in great with our nature, because once you're on the broad, when you're on the broad road, you say, hey, I can do this. I can go have fun doing that. I can say this. I can go there. I can do this. I can go there. Hey, this is great.
Right.
And there's lots of people on it. So we have company, you know, we got a lot of people on this road and everybody is kind of fun to be with. It's on that road. It's a very welcoming kind of a road.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the road to salvation, if as far as we as believers, needs to be a welcoming road, because we need to welcome people into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
However, we need to, again, we need to speak that truth.
Yeah.
We need to acknowledge where people are at. And I was listening to a talk the other day, and the person who was giving the talk said, you know, you need to hate sin, but you need to hate your own more.
Oh.
And you need to hate the ones that you like to do the most.
Ooh, that's
even
good.
More.
That's good.
That is good.
That's
because
awesome.
A lot of times we're pointing the finger at the other person, go,
oh yeah.
Well, I'm in the kingdom and that person's not.
Yes.
And you know, we end up like the Pharisee standing and going, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that person.
Yeah, that's right.
Without even realizing where we're, you know, that we're going down that road.
Wow, that's good. You know? That's very powerful.
And it's a sobering, you know, you said that's a very sobering passage. And it is a very sobering passage, and that's a very sobering thought, because there's a lot of things that Jesus says in the scriptures, such as, unless your righteousness passes that of the scribes of Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one about the narrow gate,
yeah.
There's a lot of passages that the Lord's saying, you're called to be holy because God is holy.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we do that?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
There's a striving for it,
mm-hmm.
and we ask for God's help. You know, like when Paul had the thorn in the flesh, God left that thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I think it was so that Paul would call upon God and ask for help.
Keeps him humble.
And when people have a sin habit or a sin pattern in their life and they don't call upon the Lord, they're not really seeking God's help for that.
And they can't fight it.
And they can't fight it on their own.
Yes.
It's a losing battle.
Yeah. And you said, you brought up a good point too about, you know, Jesus has the example of, you see the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't see the plank in your own.
Yes.
And in that passage, I can't think offhand where it is, but the word that we translate as plank in the Greek means the main weight bearing beam of a house. So it's a big, thick wooden beam that holds the house up.
Yeah.
So you're looking at some little fault that your brother has. He's got a little speck that you say, oh, look at that speck. And you got this big thing sticking out of your eye and you don't even see it.
Right.
And, you know, this is so part of our nature. And, you know, fortunately, we have a high priest who understands our weaknesses.
Yes.
But this is so part of our nature and so part of our weakness and frailty that we love to concentrate on other people's faults.
Right.
So this thing about hating your own sins more, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. When I heard that, I'm like, wow.
That's awesome.
It hit home. It hits home really quick.
So all these people that are on the broad road, you know, there's an allure to the broad road because it's fun.
Right.
It attracts people. You know, sometimes the Christian life doesn't attract people, but the broad road attracts people. There's an allure to it because there's attractions. There's the comfort of the flesh. You know, you can take your greed and you can take your lust on the road, you know, kind of just like all these things that Jesus says are in the human heart, they go fine on this road because you can just have fun with it. Your greed and your lust and, you know, whatever your appetites are, you can just go along because when you're on the broad road, there's nothing to check you.
Mm-hmm.
And within the broad road, you know, there's a lot of, you know, kind of subways, different ways you can go.
Right.
That are all about pleasure and all about the flesh and all about comfort and all about entertaining yourself. And you like to go with the crowd. Well, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the fun people are on that road. All those people on that narrow road over there are pretty boring, if you ask me. I mean, I used to say that. I used to say, man, those Christians are so boring. Why would you want to do that? When you're on this road, you can have fun.
Yeah.
And it's a very welcoming thing. You know, you go with the crowd and you feel good. You feel good when you're on the road because you don't really know where it's heading. You just know that you're having fun and you don't realize. And for some people, you don't realize till it's too late that it's leading to ruin. And by the time you may realize that it's leading to ruin, it may be too late.
Yeah.
You may be on your deathbed and already at the ruin. And then you say, what was I doing on that road? And it's too late.
Yeah.
And then you got demonic powers around you that are telling you, hey, why do you want to be on that other road? Mm-hmm. All those boring people that are praying and reading the Bible and listening to Gift of Grace Radio and all that stuff. When you could be on this road with all your friends, right. And it's going to be party time and it's going to be great.
Right.
So you kind of succumb to that and say, mm-hmm. yes, I like this road much better.
Yeah, you take the easier path. You know, humanly, I think humans by nature try to do things as easy as possible.
Sure.
You know, I don't want to say we're lazy because there's a lot of ambitious people out there, but on a whole, I think we try to take an easy way of doing something. Sometimes we make it harder because mm-hmm. we're trying to do it easy. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're making a shortcut and it makes us more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I think that's just part of our human nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes time to develop and grow in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a relationship with God is no different than a relationship that you and I have.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, that you or I have with our spouses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you spend an hour a week with your spouse,
mm-hmm.
and half of that is with your head in the newspaper or on your, you know, texting on your phone, you're not going to have a very good relationship.
Yeah.
And they're probably not going to be pretty that pleased or happy with you, you know. Mm-hmm. And you have to communicate. Mm-hmm. You have to talk. You have to cultivate. And I think in our culture, we lose the whole sense of cultivating things. I was talking to someone yesterday. I said, you know, everybody should be, every young person should have to plant a garden and mm-hmm. help it mature through the summer to mm-hmm. produces a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's so instantaneous now
mm-hmm.
that there's a whole generation that's yeah. lost the sense of what it means to be patient and wait for something to come to fruition.
Wow, that's a great plan.
And she goes, why would you want them to plant a garden? So I was explaining this to her because I, you know, in part, one of the things I do is I teach students guitar
mm-hmm.
and I see that they don't have the patience and the endurance to struggle through a little bit of adversity to get to the next level. And it catches me into seeing that this is lost,
mm-hmm.
that working towards something
yeah.
is lost. Even though they go to school and they're learning, yeah. some of this stuff is lost. And it's the same thing with entering through this narrow gate where we have to really persevere
yeah.
to enter through that narrow gate.
Yeah. It's not instant gratification.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. Well, oops. Okay, the narrow gate's going to have to wait a minute.
Okay.
Oh, this is an awesome song. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. This is Paul Wilbur.
Ooh.
Let's listen to this song. We'll be back in a minute.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. This place be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Jerusalem. join our hearts together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Yeah, now, as opposed to the broad road, the narrow road is different because the narrow road goes through a lot of difficult territory. It goes through a lot of conflict. It goes through a lot of tests. It goes through a lot of tribulations. Goes through Calvary.
Yes.
And, but it has a glorious destination, because if you make it down the narrow road and you get to that narrow gate, you're in a glorious destination as opposed to the broad road. And it sometimes is a difficult road. There's not a lot of variation and choices within it like there is in the broad road. Right. Because the narrow road is pointing to a destination, and it's pointing to Jesus, it's pointing to paradise, and it's going there through the cross. It goes through Calvary, because only by the blood of the Lamb can you enter the Holy of Holies. And it's like going through a wilderness. You know, it's kind of like the Israelites going through the wilderness, where they had their eyes, even though they couldn't see it, they had their eyes and their heart set on a promised land. They had a destination. It was going to be a place where they were going to be happy. There was going to be food. There was going to be milk and honey. There was going to be rest. And it's kind of like God started out by making the days of the week pointing to the Sabbath, which was the day of rest, the Shabbat. And then the Israelites were going to the promised land because that was going to be their land of rest. We're on a narrow road going to heaven, going to paradise, where our rest is going to be. So we're kind of like the Israelites, because the narrow road goes through a wilderness. And our environment around us is in conflict with the narrow road. Mm-hmm. There's always conflict. There's always some kind of struggle. And while we're on the narrow road, we're also traveling with our nature, because our nature kind of gets dragged along with it.
Yes, it does.
And like you said, well, you know, when St. Paul said, you know, I got this thorn in my flesh, I got to get rid of this thorn.
Yeah.
You know, I got thorns in my flesh, you got thorns in your flesh. I say, I want to get rid of this thorn, but I'm traveling along with this thorn that keeps sticking me.
Yeah.
And Paul was, and we are. And
you want to get rid of it in the worst way.
That's right.
You know, it's like, you know, you're walking with a thorn in your foot, mm-hmm. and you want to get rid of it, but you can't get rid of it. You can't get it out.
That's right.
It's like, okay, what do I do with this? You know, kind of limp along. You know, you're talking about, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And there can be the perception that when we become a believer that, oh, things are going to be easy.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
There'll be prosperity.
Oh yeah.
They'll have a great job, a great house, a great car.
Yeah. And that's not necessarily the case, because if you look at scripture, every prophet in the Old Testament that spoke God's word, they were killed.
And they lived in poverty.
And they lived in poverty and a lot of times in hiding. They were outcast because nobody wanted to hear their message. You know, there's many times where like, oh, here comes, you know, like Jeremiah,
or, he's a good example. He's going to be whining about something again.
Whining about something. Can't we hear a nice, fun message? Can't we hear a good message? Come on, Jeremiah. But Jeremiah was true to God's word.
That's right.
And if we're true to God's word, we're going to face difficulties and we're going to face some hardships. And I mean, you look at Mary and Joseph. You know, Mary was given the grace of bearing God's son. And they were exiled to Egypt.
Yeah.
Because God told them, you need to flee because Herod's looking for the child.
Yeah.
Now, that's not an easy life.
No, it's not.
It's not. Not at all.
They didn't go in a plane or a car.
No, they weren't traveling first class.
No.
You know, they were traveling on a donkey.
Yeah. And when they got there, they didn't check into the Ritz-Carlton or some vacation spot. Or like,
oh, you're the Messiah's mom. Come on.
Come on in. We got a room just for you.
No.
Yeah. And nobody built a mansion for Jeremiah to live in. They said, shut up. We don't want to hear you anymore. We want to hear some good news.
Yeah.
We're going to get a new prophet that tells us good stuff. We're sick of you whining. We're sick of you complaining.
And how often in our culture do we find that, you know, somebody who's telling somebody the truth is scorned and scoffed at, and they replace that person with somebody just going to tell them what they want to hear.
Sure. And you even see that in churches.
You see it in churches. You see it in our society all over the place.
You want everybody to feel good. You want to welcome people, and you don't want anybody to get mad and leave.
Right.
And yeah, so this narrow road, you know, it's a struggle. And so some people pass it by. Some people take a look at it and say, I don't want that. I used to look at it and say, I don't want that road. I want to do my own thing. I don't care about that road.
Maybe later.
I got a lot of time yet. But a lot of people, you know, they say, I've taken a look at this road and I don't like it. And it's very hard. And people, you know, like you bring up, you know, we don't want to talk about prosperity preachers and prosperity gospel. You know, they make it sound like once you get on the narrow road, you got it made.
Yeah.
Your job's going to prosper and everything's going to be terrific. But scripturally, you may end up in a dungeon. You may end up eating bread and water. You may end up wandering in the desert. But when you're done with your narrow road, you're going to be in a great destination.
Exactly.
And this is why there's few people. You can't be on both roads, you can't flip between the roads very easily. But you know, the people that are on the narrow road, they see where they're going. There's a specific goal. The people on the broad road don't know where they're going. The people on the narrow road know that they want to get to that goal. The people on the broad road don't understand the goal, don't understand where they're heading. So the people on the two roads really don't have anything in common.
Right.
So, you know, when you take, and I don't want to mention people's names, but, you know,
please don't.
example that comes to mind is, you know, you have somebody like Hugh Hefner has living in the Playboy mansion, has really little concern for what Billy Graham is doing or, you know, that you know, rough examples of other people that you can name.
It would appear, yeah.
Because he sits in his mansion with all these women around and all this fun he's having and says, man, those Christians over there, what a bunch of boring twerps they are. They don't even know how to have fun. Where do they think they're going? And he's on the, you know, he can still repent, but he can be on the road to destruction.
Yeah.
And he looks at Billy Graham and laughs at him and says, what a bozo. You know, what's he doing that for?
Yeah.
When he could be doing something else. There's two destinies. I mean, one's destruction and one's life. Like in Deuteronomy, God says, I lay before you blessings and curses, life and death. Choose life.
Yeah.
He lays it out.
And, you know, when you talk about Deuteronomy, you're talking about the covenant.
Yes, exactly. You know,
and God's covenant is non-negotiable. These are the terms. These are conditions. It's you're not negotiating a contract with God. Mm-hmm. God's setting forth the provisions of his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't walk away from the bargaining table and go, well, you know, Lord, I really don't know about this law here. Mm-hmm. I don't know about this. can we make this a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Like a maybe.
Yeah.
Because if you walked away from the Lord, it meant death.
Yes.
If you walk with him and obey his commands, it means life.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think we in our modern society have forgotten, because we're so far removed from, you know, we're 2,000 years removed from the cross, mm-hmm. the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we're another, couple thousand years removed from the Torah.
Yes.
And the giving of the law to Moses at Sinai.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And all that endured and all that they endured to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about a tough road.
Yep.
They wandered in the desert for 40 years.
Yeah. Heading for a specific place, but it ended up not being a straight road.
I mean, can you imagine if anybody today wandered in a desert for 40 years?
Yeah. You could walk from the Red Sea to Israel in probably a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
As long as you brought some water and some stuff with you.
And they wandered around for 40 years in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we don't follow God's will, and we're not in communion with God, we're not in communication with God, and we're not seeking God,
mm-hmm.
we can get into all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do things, and we can try and do things on our own. But, you know, unless God is building the house, we labor in vain.
Yep.
And the message that God gives us to preach is repentance of sins, mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple message,
mm-hmm.
but it can get off track very fast.
Yes.
Because I don't like what Paul says here in this passage, or I don't like what Peter says here in this passage, and I don't kind of agree with this whole other issue that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
You know, and we get into the mentality of Job and start complaining against God, mm-hmm. and then God has to tell us, well, were you there when I created the heavens and the earth and all this other stuff?
Yeah.
And the things that we are undoing in our culture, we have no idea what we're trying to undo.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because they're established and they're ordained by God.
Right.
And God will say, okay, if that's the way you want to proceed,
go ahead.
He will turn us over to that.
Yes. Yeah. To turn you over to the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Direction that you want to go. And we have free will.
But God offers correction to those whom he loves. So when I'm getting a chastisement and God's trying to correct me, mm-hmm. it's because he loves me.
Right.
Not because he wants to punish me and he hates me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because he loves me so much that he doesn't want me to go down that road.
Yeah. Like it says in Hebrews, it's, you know, what father doesn't punish their sons? And at the time you're being punished, you say, oh, man, this is terrible. Right. I don't like this. But then when you look back on it, you say, oh, yeah, it's really good I got punished there because
mm-hmm.
I was on the wrong road. Just like when you look back at stuff you did when you were a kid and you say, well, it's really glad my father yelled at me, or it's really glad my mother spanked me that day, mm-hmm. because now I see why.
And today, and I see this because I work with children, work with teens, there's very little room for correction.
Yeah.
There's very little room for discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You discipline somebody else's child, watch out. You're going to get the wrath of their parent because their parent doesn't want to acknowledge that my child misbehaved.
Yeah.
And thus, they enable the child to continue on in a way that's not proper for them to behave.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to end up in a worse situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many times, you know, there's someone trying to intervene and correct, and the real correction needs to be to the adult, because they're the ones that even have more blinders on than the child.
That's right. Well, another problem.
It's a hard area to minister in because of that.
But if you're undisciplined, it's very difficult to be on this narrow road we're talking about.
Oh yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Now let's go to the parallel passage, which is Luke 13:23-30. It's similar, a little different, similar, same ideas, but a few different lessons in it. And I know the clock keeps ticking on, and pretty soon the music will come on. So, Steve, why don't you read that? Luke 13, 23 to 30.
Okay. And a certain man said to him, Lord, are there few that are saved? But he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, shall seek to enter and shall not be able. But when the master of the house shall be gone in and shall shut the door, you shall begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. And he answering shall say to you, I know you not whence you are. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and grinding of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out, people will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last.
Ooh.
Wow.
Another sobering passage. So somebody asks Jesus a question, a certain man. We don't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know his motivation to ask it. Was he one of these guys that was trying to trip him up? Was it a person who was really wanting to know this? Was it a person who was just kind of curious as to, I don't know what this guy's talking about? But he gets this question, you know, basically, how many people are going to be saved? Like, is it just a few? Mm-hmm. Is it like everybody? Is it just Israel? What about those Gentiles? What about those poor people over there? And Jesus answers it in a way that doesn't just apply to the questioner, but it applies to everybody, and it applies to us.
Right.
And he says, you have to strive to enter. You know, that strive is the word there. And, you know, striving has the connotation to it of, it's not going to be an easy stroll. You know, you don't go down the narrow gate kind of just strolling along saying, isn't everything wonderful? What a beautiful day. I'm so glad I'm on the narrow road. Those poor people on the broad road. Look at this. I got it made now. You have to strive to enter. You have to have a change of heart. You know, you have to have the metanoia that we talk about all the time. You have to have a change of direction. You have to be disciplined. You have to think about what you're doing. You have to be diligent about what you're doing. Not because you're afraid that you're going to be punished, not because you think if I make one wrong turn, then the justice of God is just going to flatten me here on this road, but because you want to be on that road.
Right.
You want to go to that specific goal. You want to follow and you want to serve and you want to go be with the Lord. And, you know, Paul talks about, and the writer to the Hebrew talks about, it's like running for a prize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're running to win a gold medal, you know, you train your whole life. And while all your friends are out eating and drinking, you're running, jumping, exercising, training, because you want to do a specific thing. You're striving for a prize.
Right.
And Paul even says, you do all that training to get, you know, in those days you got a crown of laurel leaves, which, you know, rotted away after a few days and were gone. He goes, why don't you work to get a permanent prize?
Yeah.
Which is heaven. And this is what the people on the narrow road heading to the narrow gate are going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And you will see people who discipline themselves in different areas where they strive to achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are disciplined will last and remain, while others who are not disciplined will falter and go by the wayside.
Exactly.
You know, humanly speaking, that's in our culture all the time. Mm-hmm. You see people, whether it's in the arts, in the environment, or, you know, in science or, you know, technology, people that really strive and do their best and are disciplined, they can go down the long road.
Yeah.
They're not there for a short time.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a striving. It's not an easy thing. Ooh, shofar blasts.
Wow.
Woo. It's almost Rosh Hashanah, too, yeah. Later this week. Anyway, no, later next week. No, this week. Anyway, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Surrender.
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's a pretty cool song.
Yes, it is.
So you have to strive to enter. You have to strive along this narrow road. And then Jesus says, many are going to seek to enter, but they can't. I mean, many are going to seek to enter.
Yeah.
People that say, I went to church every Sunday. I even went like some days where it wasn't Sunday. I mean, sometimes it was an hour and 2 minutes instead of 57 minutes, and I stayed the whole time, you know, and why can't I come in? You know, many are going to seek to enter.
Yeah, Lord, I put an extra 5 minutes in it.
Yeah.
Each week.
And I never even complained about how long the sermon was.
I only ran out of the parking lot early a few times.
Yeah, and I never yelled at anybody in the parking lot who got in my way. So like, why can't I come in? So many are going to seek to enter. You know, some of these people are lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people are cold.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that they're cold, or they don't care that they're cold. They think they should be able to get in. And, you know, Jesus talks, he kind of gives this word because he's the master of the house. So he says, you know, the door is going to be locked. You know, it's going to be like before the flood. When the door to the ark was closed, nobody else could come in.
Mm.
You know, Noah and his family were in the ark.
Yeah.
The door was closed, and there were people out there going, hey, Noah, remember me?
Yeah.
I worked down at the 7-Eleven. Can't you let me in? And hey, Noah, remember when we used to live next door to you? You know, can I come in too?
Remember when I was making fun of you for building that ark?
So he's the master of the house. And the door at some point is going to be closed.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people that are carnal and lukewarm and cold, but when they were walking around here, they actually looked pretty good. Some of them even did religious things.
Yeah.
Like somebody said, well, look at Joe over there. You know, he's so religious. He, you know, he's always in church. He's always dressed nice. You know, they looked good, but, you know, were they true believers? Were they true worshipers? Because the true believers and the true worshipers are going to be inside. And again, the people are going to be separated, just like when the holy things and the common things were separated. You know, the people that have come to Jesus, repented of their sin, wanting to follow, strived on the narrow road, kept their gaze on the cross and kept their gaze on the goal that where the narrow road went, they're going to be inside the house. The other people that were kind of schlepping around, some of them were doing religion things and some of them were just kind of hanging out. They say, hey, can you open the door for us? Because it seems to be locked.
Right.
Like, how come the door is locked? And there's going to come a time when the door is going to be locked and nobody else who's outside is going to be able to come in.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about Revelation where Jesus gives these, writes to the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds and your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first.
Wow.
Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place.
Mm.
Wow, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. You know, the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation are a clear warning.
Mm-hmm.
To not only those seven churches,
yes,
but to every church, yes, throughout history.
When you move away from your first love.
Yeah. When you move away from your first love and you know, do you become like the one who was cleansed and then seven other spirits move back in and you're worse off? You know, the narrow road is difficult. And one person related a Christian to a boxer, and he says, you know, a boxer trains to take a punch. They're conditioned to take not only one punch but two punches, three punches, four punches, five punches, and more to endure through the fright so that they can win the prize.
Wow.
How many of us as Christians are conditioned to take a punch.
Oh, we don't want to take a punch.
No, it hurts.
We want to be comfortable. We want to watch TV and sit on the couch.
Yeah, and have our popcorn.
Have a popcorn.
But, you know, that really spoke to me when I heard that teaching.
Mm.
Wow, a prize fighter, they train to take a punch and to take many of them.
Yeah.
And they're conditioned for it so that they don't buckle under.
Mm.
And Satan, you know, Jesus says, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
If Satan's going to sift Peter like wheat, he's going to sift all of us like wheat.
Exactly.
Are we ready for that? It's not, you know, the walk is not faint for the faint-hearted.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to build our brothers and sisters up. And that's why in I think it's in Ephesians, you know, say the good things that men need to hear. Things that will really lift them up and encourage them, and do nothing that will sadden the Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly.
To show that love and compassion for our brothers and sisters, to encourage them, come on, get up.
Yes.
It's time to go. It's time to walk. That's we got to proclaim the gospel.
Exactly. We can't discourage each other.
Right.
And we can't bicker with each other, and we can't, you know, belittle each other when we're all trying to walk along the narrow road together.
Exactly.
And they have conflicts and... Oh, it's the end of the show already.
And you have the end of the show to deal with. Oh, man.
Wow. All right. We'll be back at this next week. So I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. Hold that thought. Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would be strengthened by the power of God's Spirit to endure in the walk that God has you on. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.